Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Edition of Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi in the cockpit for the next couple of hours. Carver out on assignment, but fear not. Carver will be back tomorrow night. We'll chalk it up. Get you prepped and ready for NFL action on Thursday, Major League Baseball, even the upcoming golf. The Olympics are over. But guess what? Preseason action went underway. We're on to NFL week number three for some teams already. Nothing better than that. College football AP Top 25 came out earlier today. We're going to get into it with Coach Bowden in the second hour. Go through the top 25 pretenders, contenders. We'll break it all down for you. But I am involved right now in regards to, I was gone for 4 days. And sure enough, I was gone from Tuesday to Friday night. And all over seemed to hit when I was away. I was in an area. I was down south, down in Florida. Didn't want to join on Hard Rock and all that garbage. You know, you put your thing on. I was trying to rest and relax. And all I saw was over. Couldn't get it in. Even on the plane ride home, I missed out. So we're back. We're happy to be back. The calm before the storm, baby. This is what it's all about. College football 2 weeks away. Preseason. We're about a month away from the start of the NFL season that kicks off on September 5th. I got the overs tonight. I'm involved in the over St. Louis and Cincinnati. It took over 10.5. The Reds just broke through with two more runs. So now it's 6-1 right now in favor of the Reds. Bottom of the fifth, one out. We'll keep you updated. Guardians trailed 3-1 against the Cubs. They break through with three in the bottom of the fourth. They now hold a 4-3 lead on the Cubbies. Top five, nobody on and two out. And then sure enough, bases loaded right now for Houston. One out, 5-1, Houston threatening. Come on, baby. I have over 9.5. You tease me once, tease me twice, tickle me with the Tampa Bay Rays, who are absolutely gutless. Is that under the 2.5 minutes? Did I get it? Yes, I called the Rays. Absolutely gutless. Let's break through. Houston, I'm over 9 right now. 5-1. No score. I thought that line was a little fugazi as well. They had, I believe, a flat 10 for Boston and Texas. I figured that would sail. Last time Texas was there, they went through those overs like a knife through butter, I believe, in Texas. Well, now in Boston, no score. Top four. Maybe we could find some value in regards to an in-game total. Kansas City up 1-0 on the Minnesota Twins. Two outs, top two. Some late games that I'm on. I did take the over in the Dodger-Milwaukee game. It's 8.5. I altered it up to 10.5 a little bit later, and then I took a shot in regards to the late ones. Over 10.5, Toronto and Angels. Over 9.5, the Pirates and Padres. And Colorado and Arizona, I think I altered up to 10.5 as well. So hopefully we can make some money. You want to join in on the conversation tonight? Give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. The Olympics culminated. We saw some fantastic performances. We saw the men come through in regards to the men's basketball. Steph Curry leading the charge in regards to the second half of that matchup. Steve Kerr couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag, it looked like, in regards to that. But Steph Curry bails him out. We saw the women win by 1 point. That was a monumental game and just win for the women. We saw some great performances in regards to the track and field. U.S. Women 4x100 relay comes through. Sha'Carri Richardson carrying the torch. Epic moment, looking to the side to see if she's being threatened. The LSU Tiger takes it home. So great moments in regards to the Olympics that culminated this past Sunday. We'll get into some of that with Matias as well. Matias Burbell on the turntables tonight. No disco Friday. We might have a little rock with college football on the horizon, baby. The top 25 came out. Like I said, there's some surprises. 18 through 20, I think, is an absolute joke, but we'll break that down with Coach Bowden in the second hour. I did see a lot of NFL Network this past weekend, a lot of the games. Everybody's raving about J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and here we go, right? Jaden Daniels did score his first professional touchdown against the New York Jets. I saw Adrian Martinez resurrected. Unbelievable in terms of his performance in MetLife this past weekend because, again, very inconsistent quarterback with Kansas State and Nebraska. Maybe has a career as a backup in the NFL, and we'll break that down as well. Some news out of the New York Jet camp. Hassan Reddick, that has yet to even suit up for the New York Jets, he requested a trade already. And we see San Francisco as well dialing back the situation with Brandon Ayuk. Steelers didn't give the San Francisco 49ers enough collateral. They wanted more in regards to what they were getting in return. So they go back to the drawing table. I saw Amari Cooper being thrown out there by the Cleveland Browns as well, trying to lure Brandon Ayuk. I'd make that deal if I was Cleveland as well. Let's get old man Amari Cooper out, even though he had a productive year with Joe Flacco and half the year with Deshaun Watson. Let's ship him out. Let's get some young blood in terms of Brandon Ayuk in terms of that lineup with Jerry Jeudy, right? You pair him with potentially David Njoku. You have a monumental elite wide receiver core that could potentially take the pressure off of Deshaun Watson and even the rushing attack with Nick Chubb. So that's how some of these teams are looking at the situation. I was impressed in regards with one quarterback, and that's my guy. I'm sorry. I said it from the start. I'm not getting off the bandwagon. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this draft class. He's poised. He's confident. He's ready for the big stage. And you saw a glimpse about what he could bring to the table, not just in regards to his arm, but in regards to the RPO game. You saw his ability to catch the edge. That's going to be something that I think Kingsbury and Dan Quinn, the new head coach of the Commanders, really utilize Jaden Daniels. And I understand you don't want to get him hit and you don't want to take shots on his frame. He's very skinny in regards to around 210, 215. But he's like Lamar Jackson. He really is in terms of that player being able to take over a game. We saw it with Florida last year. 600 total yards when Jaden Daniels gets hot and a defense has to account for him, not just in terms of the passing attack, but on every level of the perimeter, that opens up everything for the offense. That's a team that you have to keep an eye on. But more importantly, you saw Jaden Daniels in regards to the value already moved down in regards to the Rookie of the Year candidate, right? 13-1 behind Caleb Williams. Now you see his ability down to 6-1 in multiple books. That's an area where maybe Washington does have potential in regards to a futures market. You want to take a shot even in regards to a wild card, I believe is a game changer for the Washington Commanders. We saw some quarterbacks like J.J. McCarthy. He stepped up as well, had a bad first drive interception, then all of a sudden rebounded. That's what J.J. McCarthy is. He's a player that obviously brings not just the physical attributes, but he brings the ability to be a winner, to overcome adversity. You saw that with Stetson Bennett. Backup role for the Los Angeles Rams. Throws four interceptions, but somehow, some way, leads the team to a victory over the Dallas Cowboys. That's what you want to see from the quarterback position. You're going to make mistakes. Can you rebound from those mistakes and still put your team in a position to win ball games? That is the biggest attribute on top of your arm, on top of being able to read coverage. Can you overcome the negative? And we saw it this past weekend. We'll come back. More NFL and college football on the horizon. Keep it where it is. We're just getting started, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Carver and Lisi, baby. New week, new optimism. Forget about the negative. We're looking forward. Light at the end of the tunnel, baby. The rainbow is going to come to us. Now, I told Matias in the break, he's tweeting me, my phone's blowing up. I feel like it's one of my Bumble apps here. It's just bumbling up. Bumble. You want to give out, Matias, you said we should give out a tennis play. You got some tennis?
We should give out a tennis play,
Joe. Five-star crypto. All right, give it out because I don't even know who these cats are. Rublev and Poplin?
Yeah. Andre Rublev right now is playing in the final in Montreal in Canada. It's Andre Rublev against Alexei Poprin. Poprin is up right now, 5-2 in the first set. You could take Rublev right now at a nice price at +150. I think he comes back and wins the match. The time was now to take, you know, we missed the window about 15 minutes ago.
No
or
way.
10 minutes ago.
No way. No. No way. I love you more than anything, but you're not pulling me in on this. Gamble at your
own. No, I'm telling you, it was +200 a little bit ago. Now it's +160. It's +160 right now.
This is what Carver would... Godspeed. I have no desire. I'm playing the overs. I need the over in Tampa Bay, and I need the over in Cincinnati. I need 10.5 in Cincinnati. I need two more runs in Tampa Bay. That's what I'm, and I need the over in the Dodger game. Outside of that, that's all I'm locked in on. And sure enough, here come the Guardians. 7-3 now. They're pounding these gutless Cubs. Unbelievable. Every come game that I bet is a dead under. I didn't bet it tonight. Sure enough, they got 10 on the board. It's amazing. So what do you want to do with the tennis? Who do you want to take?
I'm taking Rublev right now at +155.
So, guys, pull that trigger.
I'm pulling it. I want to get it to +170 because it was just there about 10 seconds ago.
Stop. Just pull it then. If you like it at 170, you got to like it at 160 or 155. Just pull the trigger. Is he a favorite or is he his dog, right? You're getting money.
He's a dog now. Yeah, so he wasn't a dog when the game started. When the match started, he wasn't a dog. He was a favorite.
Right,
I think he's coming back.
So
he's a better player. I'm pulling the trigger, Joe.
Pulling Rublev. That's the five diamond crypto, I don't know, smash your consigliere in the face with a tire iron. Not figuratively, obviously. We're talking just, you know. Smash him. I hope you get it, Matias. I hope you do.
I got it at +160. If anybody wants to get in,
I mean, come on,
it's on me. It's on me.
10 cents.
It's on me. Let's go.
I mean, really. Come on. Missed it. I missed it. Plus money. Go get it. All right? We'll see. Let's first go. And third in Boston. Now this game looks like it could open up. We have first and third right now, bottom four, no score, runners in scoring position for the Red Sox. Let me give you an updated line on that quickly. We got Boston right now, it was 10.5. It's down to 5.5. Minus 215 for the Red Sox, plus 164 for the Rangers. So hopefully something good will happen right there. Kansas City up 2-0 on the Twins, another twin game that's trending potentially to the over. It's absolutely ridiculous. Bottom two, every game seems to fly. Them and the New York Mets. Yankees in Chicago. Looks like they have runners on second and third, one out. Yankees up 1-0, so they're cracking through early against the gutless White Sox and Bush. So we'll see how that plays out. Matias, I know you watched the Olympics. I know you were pulling for the men in terms of basketball. You saw how bad of a job Steve Kerr did in terms of coaching that game against Serbia, but you saw Steph Curry bail them out in regards to, what was it, four straight three-pointers to give the USA the lead and then win. They didn't cover, but I mean, unbelievable performance by Steph Curry. As a whole, I'm not impressed, though. I mean, this team should have won every game by 30, 35 points. Again, they get pushed to the limit and almost on life support in regards to the second half.
It was a final, Joe. You know, I think the host nation played the way that they were supposed to play in a final. They weren't afraid of the moment. I thought that the guys stepped up, like Yabusele, I thought, played tremendously. All their big men on France played great outside of Rudy Gobert, which is kind of funny because he didn't play that much. But Wembanyama showed up in the final game as well, Joe, putting up a big amount of points. You know, he was kind of not a nobody, but he wasn't putting up big points in the semifinal or even in the quarterfinal. So it was nice to see him come alive in the final and kind of push USA. And you know, it's tough when you're on the road and you're playing against a host nation. They made a lot of big time shots, a lot of timely shots. I don't think that France makes as many three pointers as they did in that game, or they don't shoot the percentage that they shot if they're on the road. So it did benefit them being the host nation. I do think that they also don't beat Germany if they're not the host nation. I thought that the fans came out for France. They made, you know, the environment hostile, and it made the USA take bad shots from time to time. I thought that the USA did a bad job closing out the fourth quarter for the most part until the game caught up to them. You know, it became, what, a three-point game, and then Steph Curry, you know, hits that big-time three, and then he hits another one, and then he hits another one, and then he hits another one, and then he hits another one. You know what I mean? So in terms of a final production, I enjoyed it. Did I feel bad for France? No, because the USA were the better team. They won, but I do appreciate the way that the French team played, because it gave us, the viewers, a good game to watch. I'd rather watch a good game than watch the USA win by 50 points because the other team was too afraid to take big shots. You know what I mean?
No. It's a great point. I said they played Serbia. That was the semifinal when they won 95-91. In regards to that, no, you're absolutely right, though. I mean, you know, again, it was a good game from a competitive aspect. But again, when you're talking about the USA, in regards to the mental fortitude, they just seemed to play down to the level of competition because they knew they were. And, you know, again, Steph Curry bailed them out, but they almost didn't get bailed out against Serbia. Again, they did win that by 4 points. I mean, yeah, it's good if you want to watch the game, but at the end of the day, where's the killer instinct? Would Jordan and would the old school guys lose, you know, or win those games by four? I mean, just walk through the motions? I don't think so. We'll come back. We'll talk NFL football coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I feel like I'm back in high school, circa 1985, 1986. Hit Verbell on the tunes. He's watching tennis. He's hoping on a comeback by Rublev, plus 170. Let's hope he can come through and hit pay dirt. In the break, we were talking NFL preseason action, and Matias brought up that Detroit running back Jahmyr Gibbs left camp today with an apparent injury. We'll see how it plays out. We also saw Malik Nabers Rivers' injuries foot for the New York Giants over the weekend. How does that affect his performance heading into the final weeks of the preseason, but more importantly, week number one? We'll see how that plays out. I did see an interview. It doesn't look like the Giants are concerned in any capacity up until now, but you never know. These things can be lingering, and it's important to see, especially when you have a player like Neighbors that's counted on, I believe, to be one of the main cogs of that offense, especially now with Saquon Barkley playing for the Philadelphia Eagles. Neighbors and Wandale Robinson could be a dynamic 1-2 punch in regards to, just like Tyreek Hill and potentially Jalen Waddle for the Miami Dolphins. I think Wandale Robinson could be that type of player, like a Jalen Waddle, has great hands, can be utilized in regards to the sweep game as well. Smooth route runner, not afraid to go over the middle. And Malik Neighbors in regards to hands. You want to talk about a guy that just can catch it and take it to the house on almost every reception. That is Malik Neighbors. So dynamic player, lighting it up in regards to camp. That doesn't matter. We have to see how he performs in regards to game speed. But early on, there is some optimism for both the Detroit Lions with Gibbs, obviously, that injury, and then the New York Giants and Malik Neighbors. So we'll keep you updated. 8-3 right now, Cleveland pounding the Chicago Cubs. 6-1 Houston and Tampa Bay. We saw Boston have runners at the corners, cannot convert, but they did crack through. 1-0 against Texas, top five. It opened up, sure enough, in Minnesota. 8.5 almost every game for the total for the Twins. It doesn't matter. 4-2 now. Twins have the lead, bottom two over Kansas City. No score in Milwaukee with the Brewers and the Dodgers. 1-0 Yankees and White Sox, and they're about to start in about an hour in L.A., Toronto, and the Angels. So we'll see how that plays out. I need over 10.5 in regards to the Reds. 6-1 right now, top seven. Cardinals with runners on first and second, two outs. Come on, man. Come on, win. You're 0-4 already. 0-4. How is he 0-4? We're in the top of the seventh. How is that possible with only five hits? 0-4. Is that on the year? I hope that's on the year, not in the game. Right now, Abbott, 6 2/3 innings, 5 hits allowed, 1 earned run, 6 Ks, and 2 walks. How about we give him, 4 earned runs with the Granny Smith to go yard? How about a 3-run blast? Let's see how that plays out. I did say we're going to sprinkle in NFL action. We are going to get to that because this is it. I do have some bets and some teams that I like. We saw the Rams play the Dallas Cowboys. We saw Jordan Love as well. You want to talk about a guy? He got his money. He hit his wide receiver. I think that was Wicks. I don't know who he hit, number 13, for a 65-yard touchdown en route to that victory over the weekend. But he looks like he's in midseason form. You want to take a flyer, and all the eyes are on, obviously, Pat Mahomes and all the big guns for their respective teams. I mean, Jordan Love does have value in regards to the MVP market as well. I mean, he's way down in regards to the list. He's all the way down. Let me just see who he's behind. I just saw him. He's at 14-1. He's behind Stroud and Burrow. So Burrow, Stroud, Mahomes, and Allen. He's got pretty good numbers. Think about, equate to his numbers in the last half of this regular season. From November, second week of November, straight through the playoffs, he had 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions roughly. He averaged around 270 passing yards per game, looked more confident. He's ahead of right now Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. I still think Hurts has value as well. Purdy, 16-1, don't like it to it either. Dak at 20-1. Herbert, I think that's a joke. That's just a complete money burn in regards to that. Justin Herbert, no shot. I'll say that. No shot for the MVP, even with Harbaugh. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFL football coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. So I left off talking about Jordan Love. In regards to his performance over the weekend, he looks like he's in midseason form. Couple of games that played out on Thursday, we saw the Giants, and the Giant fans are clamoring for Tommy DeVito to potentially start over Daniel Jones. I could tell you this, Daniel Jones, even in college, was not the real deal. He got pumped up because he went to Duke, because of Gettleman, and because of, you know, David Cutcliffe and his relationship with Eli Manning. That was the only reason why Daniel Jones made it in regards to the first round draft pick for the New York Giants. He had 22 touchdown passes. This is back in the day, his senior year at Duke. Five of them came against a mediocre Pitt defense. So that's all you need to see, okay? Five came against Pitt. The other five came in the bowl win over Temple. Get real, okay? All right, he didn't step up against elite competition and start torching top 10 defenses in college football. But if you watched any tape and you're a GM like Gettleman, right, you would think he would know that. But obviously he didn't. He didn't know his ass from his elbow, and that's why he's not coaching in the league or part of an organization in any capacity making decisions. So it's amazing how some of these people that don't watch a stitch of college football get to make decisions for organizations and get paid, you know, $10, $15 million. I'll tell you what, I'll do it for $3 million on the cheap. If I don't deliver a winner in 2 years, you could fire me, all right? How about that? It's amazing. But one quarterback that I'm down on, and we saw it play out against the Panthers, is New England first-round draft pick Drake May. We saw Jersey Joe Milton light it up for the New England Patriots. And Joe Milton is that X-factor type of quarterback. He's got the intangibles like Anthony Richardson. He's got a live arm. He struggles with consistency, struggles with some in terms of reading coverage. But he's a gamer. He's going to go out there and potentially light up some defenses. Does he have more upside potentially than Drake May? I absolutely believe that. And the reason why is because I don't think Drake May was a first-round draft pick. I think Drake May has the potential to be Daniel Jones 2.0 in regards to, you know, more lows than highs in terms of his career. And that is the biggest thing, I think, when you see it play out for the New England Patriots. If I'm New England, I want to know who my quarterback of the future is sooner rather than later. I would not start a journeyman like Jacoby Brissett. I would start one of the two guys, whether it be Joe Milton or Drake May. I want to know which guy could be that guy when the chips are down. It's one thing, oh, the line sucks. Yeah, we know that the line sucks. But you know what? If he could make plays with a suspect offensive line and he could read coverage and he shows that he's poised in the pocket, that could translate to bigger and better things in year number two. If he's a deer in the headlights like Sam Darnold was in New York and Zach Wilson, well, don't you want to make that assessment sooner rather than later and then drag it out 3 or 4 years and not know where you're going as an organization? Drake May never stepped up in a big game. Yeah, you're playing Minnesota, week number 4 in your house. Yeah, he can light them up. You want to throw for 300 yards against a gutless Virginia defense? Sure, but you lose the game. You play somewhat of a hint of a good defense in Clemson. You can't get out of your own way. You throw for under 50% and you lose both ball games by double digits. How is that a top 10 quarterback? So we'll see how these situations progress. I think for New England right now, in regards to their win total, I go under. That's not a knock on Gerard Mayo. I just think that he really needs to weed out the players that fit his scheme and do not fit his scheme. From, you know, the cupboard was very bare with Bill Belichick. They are in a complete major rebuild, and the sooner that they know players that could fit their scheme, the better. It's similar with Jim Harbaugh and the LA Chargers. You know, there was a lot of optimism at the early part of the year in regards to when the numbers first came out for the LA Chargers. You know, they were a 13-1 shot at one point to win the AFC. That was, you know, before Keenan Allen and Mike Williams got dealt, and Austin Eckler as well. Now they're in a complete potential rebuild. But why Justin Herbert has 20-1 numbers to win an MVP? I know he's a good quarterback, but again, this is a team that right now Jim Harbaugh is going to want to run the football football number one. He wants to build physicality on the offensive and defensive lines, something that their former head coach, gutless Staley, failed to do. He was supposed to be a defensive mastermind, and his team had the worst defense in the NFL. They lacked physicality. They could not run the football with Josh Kelly and Austin Eckler when they had to, and they couldn't shut down the run in a big spot. They were like a sieve in a glass house. How that equates to Justin Herbert having a 20-1 number, even though they have new additions and Jim Harbaugh's there, I just don't see it. They're not the second-best team in the AFC West. Sorry. In my opinion, that's the Las Vegas Raiders and Antonio Pierce. I believe they have a light win total this year. I think they can definitely eclipse. I know the schedule is hard, but I still think that they can eclipse 6.5, 7 wins easy this year. 6.5 wins at minus 138, I believe they could be an 8 or 9 win football team, especially if Gardner Minshew starts the year. You know what you have with Aiden O'Connell. We're talking about Aiden O'Connell that threw for 35 total yards in the road win against Kansas City. At least Gardner Minshew gives you a hint of a passing attack. And I know Gardner Minshew's a journeyman, but they went that route with Garoppolo last year. At least Minshew could step up and potentially give you something to potentially challenge for a wild card. He had the Colts in position with a first-year head coach and rookie talent there in Indianapolis. He could certainly do it with Devontae Adams and the talent now in Las Vegas. You saw Zamir White come on in regards to the rushing attack. They have Brock Bowers now, the rookie coming out of Georgia that could be the next best thing in regards to a Travis Kelce type of player. Mismatches, the ability to open up the passing attack, the ability to allow Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers to get free. I mean, Devontae Adams is now on the backside of his career. He's still a very good wide receiver, but he's not elite. He's not Justin Jefferson, and he's not Jamar Chase, and he's not some of the young guns that we see, but he's still very productive. With Brock Bowers in that lineup and the ability to run the football and have a veteran quarterback like Gardner Minshew, I think Las Vegas is live. They have great value, in my opinion, to be the second best team. Playoff, you're getting plus money in regards to the Las Vegas Raiders. They're plus 320 to make the playoffs. We're talking about a team that knocked off Pat Mahomes in their house at the end of the regular season as an 11.5 point dog. They knocked off the Chargers at the end of the regular season, crushed them in their house. And I understand Staley at that point was dead man walking with Easton Stick, but they kicked them right in the teeth. They pounded that team into the ground. If they can win four divisional games, you want to give them both losses at Kansas City? That's fine. But if they can sweep Denver and sweep the Chargers, I believe they could be a 9 or 10 win football team. You want to give me plus 320 to make the playoffs. I'll take that any shot and any day of the week. I think that's one of the teams that I'm high on in regards to the AFC. I am not sold on the Chargers. I am not sold on some of these secondary, tertiary teams that all the supposed gurus are lapping up in the book. We'll come back. We'll talk more NFC. Coming right back on Carver and Lisi, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football, then a little Metallica, huh? A little Metallica riding through there, huh? Unbelievable. All right. Quick updates in the baseball. I knew this was going to happen to me. 6-1, respectively, Houston and Tampa Bay. 6-1 right now, Reds and Cardinals. All this game in Cleveland is doing is sailing through all totals. It started slow. I didn't bet the total in the Cub game, and sure enough, here we go. 8-4 now, Guardians. Cubs with bases loaded and two outs, so they just scored a run. It was 8-3. They have 8-4 now. Sure, they'll probably hit a Granny Smith. This will be 16 runs total, 8 up. I know it just has that look right now. Boston and Texas tied at 1, bottom 5. Red Sox with a runner on and nobody out. 6-2 Twins and Kansas City. They're through 3 right there. That total was 8.5. So one more run, you're through that. No score in Milwaukee. Runner on for the Dodgers. Top 3, 2 outs. Yankees trail now the White Sox 2-1. They go to the bottom of the second, so we'll see how that plays out. I need 4 runs in St. Louis, Cincinnati. They go to top 8. And I need basically 3 to hit the bet in Tampa Bay. So they're going to leave me hanging. Hopefully not, but we'll see how that plays out. In the break, we got an update on Jahmyr Gibbs. It's a hamstring injury in regards to the starting running back for the Detroit Lions. Him and David Montgomery with the 1-2 punch. They're going to need Gibbs to be healthy. Obviously, he's a speedster. He's a guy that can catch the football as well. Anything with a hammy, it shut him down for the rest of the preseason, and more importantly, just get him ready for week number 1, about a month away, but you rush him back too soon, that could linger throughout the regular season. Big picture for the Detroit Lions, and we talked about this in regards to the offseason. And, you know, I am very respectful of Detroit Lion fans. Heck, I remember Detroit back in the day, you know, Eric Kramer, Eric Hipple. You want to talk about, you know, just, you know, Wayne Fonts, Barry Sanders, Brett Perriman. Yeah, we could go through the list on and on and on and on in regards to just, you know, the type of talent in Detroit. I saw the high highs and the low lows. I watched that game when they were in the divisional playoff game against Joe Gibbs and you know, Washington. They got absolutely boat raced in regards to that matchup. But I can tell you, Dan Campbell has done a great job. Is he a top 5 coach? No, in my opinion, he's not. Is he a top 5 motivator? Absolutely. Absolutely has turned around a losing organization to a winning organization. But again, now they're the hunted. They were the hunted to a degree last year because they were priced to potentially win the division. At that particular time, because of the 9.5 win total and what their price was to make the playoffs, and knowing that Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers were gone and that marriage was over, Green Bay had a win total of 7.5. We saw the situation with the win total with Eberflus in Chicago last year and Minnesota. You know, right there, he's a great motivator. But now they are expected to be right there with the likes of Philadelphia and San Francisco, respectively. Can you do it? Can Jared Goff be that guy? I think Goff is a very good quarterback. I think the way that offense elevated with St. Brown and the rushing attack, like I mentioned, of Montgomery and Gibbs and the offensive line, and how that defense was very opportunistic at times. But again, in critical spots, you can go back to the end of the Dallas game where, you know, he takes 3 opportunities at a 2-point conversion. Was the call a little suspect? Absolutely. But he still chose to go from basically a 2-point conversion around the 10-yard line. And that's on Dan Campbell. He cost his team an opportunity to have home field potentially throughout the playoffs at that particular time. And you look at it in regards to what he did in the second half against San Francisco. Double-digit lead by the game plan. Everything's playing out according to the script. Does he make halftime adjustments? Does he adjust in-game to get the best of Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers? No. And that is where I think when you look at the big picture, Dan Campbell needs to elevate. Again, he's a top 5 motivator. He's maybe a good game planner at the start of the game, in-game perspective, X's and O's. That's to be desired. And that's why I can't go all in on the Detroit Lions. Is it a great story? Absolutely. Are they at least a wild card contender? Most likely, yes. Am I betting on them to go back and win the division? No. Not in any way. That's where I believe in Matt LaFleur, and I believe in Jordan Love. I think they're a more complete team. I think they have the young guns. I believe in LaFleur more than I believe in Campbell, believe it or not, in a big spot. That's just me. And you can make the argument LaFleur has his negatives as well. I get that. But LaFleur took a first-year starter, took multiple youngsters like Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and Dontavian Wicks and the young rushing attack with A.J. Dillon and sprinkled them in. And, yeah, Aaron Jones is no longer there. Here's the veteran. Now you get Josh Jacobs. But he elevated that team. In the second half of the season, they knocked off Detroit on Thanksgiving. They opened up a can of whoop-ass on them. They did. They knocked them around on Thanksgiving Day. They beat Pat Mahomes in their house by 8 points in terms of Green Bay. And, oh, by the way, they went as a 6.5-point dog in Big D and crushed Jerry Jones and Big Dak Prescott. That's why I like Jordan Love and Green Bay to win the division. We'll come back and wrap up hour one right here on Carver and Lisa.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on Carver and Lisa, getting in the groove. Put your white capizios on. Place a bet and let's talk about it. Oh, yeah, that's what it's all about, Matias. Left off talking about the NFC North. Dan Campbell, Matt LaFleur. In the break, Carver. Matias wanted to know about Marvin Harrison and the Arizona Cardinals. So go ahead, Matias. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. has come out and has had a lot in regards to, you know, the memorabilia and the deal with Fanatics and all that good stuff, saying that he didn't sign the deal. But you want to know about the on-field performance by Kyler and this team right now in regards to Gannon, their head coach. Talk to me. What do you think about Marvin Harrison Jr. and you?
What's his ceiling right here? I feel like everybody, you know, in the NFL world, the rankings world, they're ranking on his ceiling right now, but they're not ranking him as a rookie. So I'm thinking, like, how long do you think it's going to take him to get adjusted to the NFL speed, to the NFL power, you know, to all those things that come from changing from levels to levels? And you know what I mean, Joe. Every single, starting from peewee football to JV to varsity to college to professional, the game is always different when it comes in terms of speed. You know, how fast do you think he adjusts to that, you know, to that speed of the NFL? Do you think he could be the number one receiver in his whole division? Because I think that's what his aspirations are. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. and the Arizona Cardinals believe that they could make him the number one receiver in the division and possibly the league. You know, I think there's a lot riding on him right now. And I want to know what your take is on Marvin Harrison Jr. Where does he rank among other elite receivers, such as, you know, a London Drake or a Drake London, excuse me, or a Chris Olave or a Michael Pittman Jr., Devontae Adams? Do you have him in that category?
Well, let's dial it back for a second. We saw rookie guys come in like Justin Jefferson, like Ja'Marr Chase, and just light it up. LSU wide receivers have come into the league and just set the world on fire, right? We saw Devontae Smith in regards to winning a Heisman and have a very productive first year with the Philadelphia Eagles, right? So, again, you know, if he's an elite wide receiver and that's the way he was viewed at in regards to his days in Columbus and Ohio State, he was looked at as the number one wide receiver coming into this draft, you know, you have to step up. There is no learning to. Yeah, you're supposed to learn on the go. And a multitude of wide receivers have come into the league and lit it up in regards to their first year. CeeDee Lamb had a productive first season, right? And he wasn't even near the hype that we've seen in terms of Marvin Harrison Jr. We saw OBJ come into the league back in the day from LSU. So, yeah, that's what he's being compared to. You're talking about a Larry Fitzgerald-esque type of wide receiver in terms of the body type. You're talking about a Calvin Johnson Hall of Fame type of player, big body type, can catch the football at its highest point, can out-muscle bump and run coverage. That's the biggest thing that Marvin Harrison brings to the table. Now, when you look at the progression from Ohio State in terms of their offense, right, and what they had last year, in regards to, you know, their passing attack, you know, and you look at Malik Nabers and what he had with Jaden Daniels, I think it's like night and day in regards to that, you know, especially in regards to the last season. So that is the biggest thing when we talk about NFL ready. Yeah, Marvin, first of all, he's coming from a Hall of Fame wide receiver in terms of his father. He knows how the game is played. He's been around the game his whole life. So if there's anybody prepared for making the jump from college to the NFL, it is Marvin Harrison Jr., because his father did it with the Indianapolis Colts for years with Reggie Wayne. So, again, you know, he's expected, Matias, to be that second coming of the great Larry Fitzgerald for Arizona, but more importantly, like a Calvin Johnson type of player. He doesn't come close to 1,000 yards, let's say, this year. I think it would be an ultimate disappointment in year one, and especially knowing that Kyler Murray is there in terms of the trigger man.
If I gave you right now to start a team, you know, you're starting your organization, and you have guys like Devontae Adams and Drake London and, you know, Michael Pittman
Jr. Wait a second, though. I know you're an Atlanta fan, but Drake London was never – they're like apples to oranges when we're comparing Drake London to Marvin Harrison Jr. There's not even a comparison. Harrison Jr. had so much more upside and was looked at as better than Drake London. We got to get back into this. Stop talking about your Falcons. We'll come back. Hour two coming up next.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Update your home and save big money with Mastercraft Doors at Menards. For over 50 years, Mastercraft has been making quality doors inside and out. Choose from the best in-stock selection of interior and exterior doors ready to take home today. Or design your door your way with our free designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on Mastercraft Doors and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.